Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Elder Tadira, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my elder.
How are you?
I hope you're well.
How are you doing? Are you well?
I am. Thanks for asking. I hope yourself too.
I am well. Thank you for asking. Thank you so much for asking. So we're dealing with the fundamental belief on baptism, and we looking at Luke 3 verse 16. John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So in today's lesson, we're going to look at the origins of baptism, as well as why are we so particular about being immersed rather than, for example, being sprinkled or being wiped with water. Now, please take us back to the origins of this practice, and where did it all originate?
Right. When you read around the history of baptism, my elder, you would find that it is not a practice that was just tied to Christianity. There are so many religions that do and have always done and had this ritual of baptism,
okay,
as a symbol of cleansing, so to say. So we do have, of course, from a Christian perspective, John in Matthew chapter 6, the forerunner of Christ, adopting the same method as a way of showing conversion, as we discussed yesterday. So it is something important for us to note that baptism, of course, it might have gone under different names within other religions, but the act of cleansing, it had been very present across different religions. But we see here God using what men were familiar for in ushering followers into Christianity, getting them in through the rite of baptism.
Mm. Okay, now we're considering the reasons and purpose of baptism. Why was Jesus baptized then?
Right. As Christ himself indicated to the Jews, if you'd read in John chapter 8, verse 46, whereby he asked them which one of them convinced him of sin. Christ was sinless, and his baptism, as he indicated, was to fulfill all righteousness and was not of a necessity. Christ had no sin and had no need of baptism, as we do have need. But as we said yesterday, he just gave an example for us. You can imagine if he had not been baptized, I mean, he would have an occasion for many seeking exception. But I saw that no man would seek exception. Christ himself partook in this rite of baptism. And it is very interesting to note how John really didn't want to baptize Christ, for knowing that this was his creator. I do love what you indicated, that John went as far as saying he was not fit for giving the laces to his shoes, for knowing that this was indeed the Messiah. And I think it's also important to note that there had been a general anticipation that the Messiah had been by the door. You have the prophets of 70 weeks in Daniel. So those who would read scripture, as they had scripture then, they knew that the Messiah was by the door. And John testified that he who had sent him had given him signs. And just when he saw Christ, he knew that this was the Messiah. But he really felt that it was not his privilege to baptize. But Christ led him so as to fulfill all righteousness, but not of necessity, for Christ did not have sin, as we do have sin.
Not of necessity, but to just show example?
Yeah, to show example and to fulfill all righteousness, you know, just to take the words out of his mouth. That's exactly what he said, that let suffer it to be so, so that we fulfill all righteousness. So that was the reason which Christ prophet.
I see. Couldn't have he have just verbalized this and it would have had the same effect? I mean, he's Christ after all.
Yeah, but he came as man. I think back of all this, we need to acknowledge that he came fully as God, but fully God as well. And very particular about the issue of baptism by immersion. You know, just an interesting point, my elder. Reading and discovered that in this our day, we even do have various modes of baptism. Yesterday we spoke of sprinkling and flogging, and but did you know that we actually do have people who are getting baptized virtually, that is online, and things like that. But as someone said, the road to right is so clear that we often miss it. God is that particular baptism by immersion and immersion only.
Not even on online, eh?
Not even online, and not even these things of baptism of the dead, as other Christians preach it. It's a baptism by immersion once and of the living.
Yeah. Now, you know, when John said Jesus would baptize him with the Holy Spirit and fire, what did he mean?
Right. John really owned that Christ was more than a prophet. You see, like when you read in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 33, and a whole lot of other texts, John really owned it, that this was more than a prophet. This was God himself. And John's baptism, allow me to say, it was more of a symbolism, or it was more of ceremonial, in that forgiveness was not John's to give. I think yesterday we spoke of baptism as a show of conversion, but repentance and forgiveness was not for John to give. And Christ here comes, and he has the power to cleanse the inward man by his spirit and by fire to purge the dross within. So that is the sense of by the spirit and by fire. Christ would cleanse the inward man by his spirit and purge the dross inside us by fire. So in that sense, John here in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, said that we need to be baptized by fire and by the Spirit.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, what is the significance of the immersion aspect of baptism?
Right. I think a good answer we can find in the book of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4.
Romans 6, verse 1 to 4.
Yes, Romans 6, verses 1 to 4, whereby Paul pulls the veil and clarifies some issues, interesting issues about baptism. In a nutshell, he was saying that as Christ was buried and rose from the dead, so in like fashion, in baptism, we die to our old selves and rise in the glory of the Father. So baptism, as we know, baptism by immersion, being immersed once, is an imagery of how Christ died but once and rose just but once. Yes.
So it's a dying once and rising up once.
Yes, it is.
And so the immersion then signifies that death.
Yes, it really does.
Death into old self, eh?
Yes, yes, yes.
Fantastic. Well, before I let you go, what would you want to emphasize to our listeners on what we have looked at as today's lesson?
Right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 indicates that there is but one baptism. And, the devil will always bring so many options on the table. But God is that particular about baptism about immersion and about it being done once. But over and above, it is also important to note that our baptism shows a conversion, like I said yesterday, not just looking back over our shoulders. It really has to be a dying of the old man and rising in the newness of life. Mm. So it is a very important ceremony in our belief system, which is why we actually have it as one of the 28 fundamental beliefs as a church.
Mm. Beautiful stuff. Well, my elder, I must thank you so much for joining us this afternoon and, explaining these things so succinctly. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Sure. I'll be looking forward to it.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.